We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NFL draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Back, Goff looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting it for the touchdown, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown. The snap, he's got it, wants to throw. Wentz looks, pressure comes. Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20. Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 335 on the Blue Wire Network. I am Euro Tyler, joined by my main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Malcolm, how are we feeling?
Woo, man. Yo, this time. It's finally time. We're going to talk about the Detroit Lions in the goddamn playoffs, man. Shit, this is great.
It hasn't officially really kicked in for me. I feel like it's not going to really kick in for me until we actually enter that stadium on Sunday. And we're going to be like, damn. And we're going to see that little divisional paint on the field. That's going to be like, damn, we're really here. We're in the playoffs right now. Because right now, it's like, okay, yeah, we're playing the Rams. We're playing the playoffs. I don't know, but like, it hasn't really hit me. It hasn't really sunk in yet.
It hasn't sunk in, man. It has for me. Shit, because usually this time, it's like, all right, we're going to see our football team until September. This is it. Let's talk about the draft. Who could we possibly be drafted? But no, man, now we're talking about another goddamn game. This is great.
Hopefully more games, right?
Hopefully more games, man. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a freaking blast on Sunday. I was telling Malcolm, because we're talking about tailgating, and I'm like, dude, I want to go out there as early as like 12 o'clock, 11 a.m. Like, just get out there. I don't give a shit how cold it is. We'll bundle up. We're going to have a good-ass time all day.
Let's do it.
And if anyone's interested, anyone heading to the game, you guys could DM us. We'll talk more about this tailgate.
Woo!
You know, I want to see everyone out there, man. I want to see everyone out there have a good-ass time.
Come hang out with your boy. Come hang out with your boys, man. Let's go, man. Come out to the tailgate, man. We're about to turn up, man. It's about to be fun, man. Can't wait.
It's going to be a good-ass time, man. Can't wait. All right. Let's get right into it. Injury report, and then we'll talk about more details about this game. So I'll start off with the Rams injury report, and then I'll have Malcolm get into the Lions one right after. So we have offensive lineman Joe Northenbroom. He did not practice with a foot injury. We have defensive back Jordan Fuller dealing with an ankle injury. He did not practice. We have linebacker Troy Reader dealing with a knee injury. He did not practice. We have offensive tackle Rob Harvenstein. It looks like it's resting, but did not practice on Wednesday. We have offensive lineman Kevin Dotson dealing with a shoulder. He was limited. And we have tight end Tyler Higbee also dealing with a shoulder, who was limited on Wednesday. Malcolm, what's the Lions injury report looking like?
Yep. So what we have, man. So the Detroit Lions, we have a few people resting today. We have Taylor Decker. He's resting today. He did not participate in practice. Graham Glasgow, also resting, did not participate in practice. We have Sam Laporta. He has a knee injury. He did not practice today. That's kind of huge. We need to know what's the status of Sam Laporta. Frank Ragnow. He has, I mean, does it look like there's everything wrong with him? He's also resting. He had a lot of things going on with the knee, back, arm, leg, shoulder, everything. But he's resting. So that's a positive. But he did not practice today. Khalif Raymond with knee injury. He did not practice as expected. And then we have our limited, which is Jerry, fan favorite. I forgot to say that. Jerry Jacobs. He did not participate. He was limited in practice today. And then we have everybody else was full. Everybody else that's on this list was full. Brian Branch, Johnson Kaminsky, James Houston. That's a huge one to keep an eye on. He was a full participant in practice. Cam Sutton, Jameson Williams, also a big one. Ankle injury, but he was a full participant in practice. And Brock Wright, with his hip injury, was also a full participant. Yep.
That's big, man. I mean, there's some big ones on that list. I mean, Brock Wright, to get him back is huge, especially with the Laporta injury. You know, he's a very steady tight end. So to get him back is huge. J-Mo obviously is absolutely huge. And then James Houston, that's the interesting one. Full practice. I mean, they talked to Dan Campbell, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, and they asked him about James Houston, and he didn't really sound too optimistic about him being activated this Sunday. But I don't know if Dan Campbell necessarily expected a full practice on Wednesday out of James Houston either. So maybe things are progressing a little bit better. This is his first full practice since the injury. So if we can get him back, what timing that would be to get some pass rush help around this time of game in the playoffs, man. That'd be absolutely humongous.
That would be great, man. But yeah, if he could string together a couple more of these, maybe two or three more full practices, I could see him playing.
They got two more. So they got Thursday and they got Friday. So
just two more. We just need two more from you, James. Just two more.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. If they could activate him this Sunday, that gets fun. And then regarding Sam Laporta, you know, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw him get hurt, I just assumed he was out for the playoffs, honestly. And I wasn't optimistic. I'm like, he's done. But Dan Campbell has gave us some more optimistic reports that said this is more of a days thing than a week's thing. So we're talking days with Sam Laporta. Now, he didn't practice on Wednesday, but don't have to listen to the report. Participate in the walkthrough on Tuesday. Maybe he gives it a go. Maybe Dan gives a little rest this week on the practice field, but he's ready to go Sunday. That would be awesome, dude. I don't know. My gut feeling is gut feeling. There's no report to this, just a gut feeling. Me, myself, I think he's going to see it on Sunday.
I like it.
Up on Sunday.
I like it.
Now, how much he plays, I don't know. I think he's going to be activated on Sunday, though. That's my opinion.
That'll be huge. That'll be huge for Detroit.
I think the kid's an absolute warrior. Someone tweeted this. I think they said it was the same exact injury as Travis Kelce, the game that he missed the lines, but he almost suited up too. Like, if that was a playoff game, Travis Kelce's playing. And yeah. I think in this case, it's a playoff game, huge game. I think Laporta plays.
I think he puts a brace on it and he gives it a go. That's what I honestly think. I think he'll put a brace on it and he'll be right out there.
But, you know, if he doesn't, give it a go. You know, don't come hating my DMs. This is all my opinion. I don't know. I have
you
nothing.
They'll be like, you told us.
I have no report connected to this. This is just my gut feeling. I think he's going to suit up. But we don't know. We'll see. They'll know Friday. I mean, if he's listed out on Friday, then he's out on Friday. We'll see what happens. But getting Brock Wright's big. You get to get some more stability back at tight end. Them not going after working out any tight ends too makes me feel more comfortable that they know something about Sam Laporta. But I don't know. Yeah. We'll keep it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the injury report. Now getting into this Lions offense versus this Rams defense. You know, I'll kick it off to you. I mean, this Lions offense has been very good. They've been clicking recently. What do you expect them to do this Sunday? What's the game plan?
I think the game plan is exactly what they've been doing all year. I think nothing changes with this team. You play against the Rams. I mean, they do have, you know, the Hall of Famer, Aaron Donald up front. But besides him, it looked like there's a bunch of young pieces. Just a ton of young pieces. Just all around. Even from their linebackers to the corners. It looked like there's a bunch of young guys. And they're playing good football. But I think nothing changes with this team. I think we stay with the run game. We got Montgomery. We have blanking a name.
Jahmyr Gibbs,
my guy. So we have two dynamic running backs. We pound the rock just like we did all year, and then we just, you know, let Goff do what he does. And I think Goff is very motivated for this game because he's playing against his former team, a team that gave up on him. Like the team that pretty much threw him away, So I think Jared Goff is going to be playing this week with a chip on his shoulder. We could see one of Jared Goff's better games, and I think that's going to be huge, because if he could come in this game and do that and let the momentum go forward, and we keep, you know, going deeper in the playoffs, that's going to be huge for Detroit. So Jared Goff and the offensive line is the key to this game offensively, man.
100%, man. Make Goff as comfortable as possible. Get the surrounding pieces around him. And they have that right now. I mean, obviously, we don't know the status on Sam Laporta, who's been an absolute huge piece of this offense. And, you know, we haven't really seen him play without Sam Laporta. I mean, we saw a second half versus the Vikings, which, you know, I don't really count too much because, you know, they were subbing in guys and out and whatever, right? So we'll see how the offense looks if Laporta can give it a go. And even if he does give it a go, how much of it is he going to really contribute to the team? You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what to expect out of that tight end spot. And, you know, Laporta has been huge for this offense on third down in the red zone. Like, he's been one of Goff's favorite weapons, probably outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, I would say, or he's right up there, I would say, with him. But I think you hit it right on the nail. You know, offensive line is healthy. You still have your two-headed monster in the backfield, Monty and Gibbs. You're going to get them involved. And something the Lions have done really, really well in the past month, not really necessarily last game, but for the past month, they've done really a good job with this, is time of possession and owning that time of possession. I think that's going to be the winner of this game. I think winner of the time of possession is going to be vital in this game. If the Lions could have those long drives and score touchdowns, like, that ruins all the momentum for the Rams on offense, and it gives you an edge, and it gives your defense an edge, because you're keeping them off the field, keeping them rested, and it gets the Rams offense a little bit out of their swagger. So owning that time of possession, I think, is very, very vital. And, you know, this Rams defense is nothing too special. You know, as far as their total defense, they're ranked 20th. They average 337 yards per game total, which is similar to yours. You average 336. You are a 1 yard difference on defense as far as giving up yards in a game. Rushing defense, you know, they're allowing 106 average, and their passing defense, they're allowing 231 average. So, like, you know, there's nothing special about this Rams defense. Yes, they have a future Hall of Famer, Aaron Donald, but it's young, and I think the Lions' weapons are, you know, I think they are better than the Rams' defensive pieces. So if the Lions could do what they could do in some of these certain games where they could just own that time of possession, keep the Rams off the field, you know, I like the Lions' chances on offense to kind of put the Rams away. And, you know, this is a team that doesn't really cause many takeaways. They are the second or worst team at causing takeaways. They only had 15 takeaways all season long. So they're ranked 30th in the whole league. So I think that's also another advantage. If the Lions could play clean, which they have been a lot better since that little funk they were in, I think that's also huge, because we can't have one of those games where Goff is having three fumbles or three interceptions or anything like that. So, you know, time of possession, we say it every week, and the turnover battle is going to be really big. And we haven't talked about this Rams offense yet. We know Stafford's, you know, prone to some turnovers in the game. You know, he's prone to throw a pick or two. So if he could win that turnover battle as well, again, I like the chances again for the Lions to win this game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a battle of the offenses. I mean, I think both offenses is going to be able to pretty much have their way. So I think, like you said, man, it may come down to, you know, the time of possession and also who has the ball last.
Right.
As far as who's going to come out on top of this game, because I think both offenses, as far as Detroit and the Rams, I think they're both playing at a high level right now.
It's what got them here. Dan Campbell said, like, we're going to do what got us here. And I think for both teams, I think that's what got them here is their offense. I don't think their defense has really got them here. And they've been good enough for both sides. But for the most part, what has won the Rams games? What has won the Lions games? It's been their offense. It's been the quarterback. It's been their running game. It's been the weapons around their quarterback, the offensive line. That's what I think is going to come down to the end of the day. So who is going to be the better offense? That's going to be the great question. Whose defense is going to fold? That's a good question. And that's what we're going to have to wait for Sunday. And this is as balanced, I think, of a matchup as it gets, man. They are such an even team, I think. Yeah. Like their offenses are very similar. Defenses are pretty similar. Like this is as even as a matchup as it gets. And, like, you can't ask for much more as a football fan. As a Lions fan and as a Rams fan, you're probably going to be sweating your tits off this whole game. But, like, it's going to be an insane game, I think. An insanely close game.
Yeah, I think it is too, man. I think it'll be a insanely high scoring game as well. I think there's gonna be a lot of back and forth as well, man. Shit, the Rams. I mean, yeah, I really think it'll be like a back and forth game, a big shootout.
Is it gonna be like the last time we were Ford Field all together, a Seattle game?
I hope not. I hope we lost that game. We lost that game.
I think there'll be some punts on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
In this game,
yeah, because that last game we didn't force a punt.
A single punt.
Yeah, let's not have that happen again.
Let's not have that.
Yeah.
No, I mean this defense obviously from that game has improved a lot significantly. You know, they're still not fully there yet. I think it's going to be interesting too because we've talked about Aaron Glenn. Sometimes he comes in with these great game plans. Like we saw the Cowboys game where that defense was absolutely balling versus a hot Dallas offense at home, and we've seen Glenn do a good job with doing a good job when it's not a mobile quarterback. And Stafford's not the most mobile quarterback either. So I think that could give an advantage to the Lions defense as well in this game.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Stafford for 12 years. We kind of know Stafford's ups and downs. We've seen his ups and downs as a quarterback. We've seen his highs. We've seen his lows. With the Rams, I think what we have to do as far as stopping – try to contain. Like, I think it's hard to stop this offense because I think they have a lot of weapons. To contain them, first thing you got to do is you got to stop that running back, Williams, number 23, which I think Detroit could do because Detroit, there's one thing that they've been consistent all year, and that's been stopping the running game as far as these running backs and limiting these running backs to having one of their worst games when they play against the Detroit Lions, which is, I think that's key. So we could take Williams out. And it sounds crazy, but you want to, you know, make him one-dimensional, which Stafford is very comfortable doing because he's been one-dimensional 90% of his career. So
90 is an understatement too, I think. I think it's even higher.
Yeah, maybe like 95% of his career.
I think, you know, he's had two seasons with 1,000-yard rusher. It's this year and that one 2013 season
with Reggie Bush.
Then that's the only time he's ever had a 1,000-yard rusher.
So, I mean, if anybody knows about anything being one-dimensional offensively, is Matthew Stafford.
Absolutely. You know?
So, I mean, even though we're going to limit him and make him one-dimensional, is that the best option? I mean, yeah, because you don't want them to be able to run the ball down our throats so we can't stop the run game. You have to stop the run. But Stafford, we have to win with the front four. I mean, you look at the games when he was a Lion. What games give Stafford all the problems? Every time he played the Vikings, why did the Vikings always give us problems? Because they had a front four pressure. They were able to drop everybody else in coverage. And when you were able to run, when you were able to pressure Stafford with your front four, he was able to, you know, he's more prone to make mistakes.
100%.
If you blitz him, he'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Because he's really good at seeing the blitz, recognizing the blitz, and making you pay. But if you win with your front four. And that's where Aaron Glenn has to come. And these guys, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil, all these guys in our front four. If we could win with our front four and able to drop everybody, go 7 in coverage, we could give Stafford a hard time. Honestly, can't. If they're able to pull that off. Now, Aaron Glenn starts blitzing and then Stafford starts seeing it and starts picking us apart. That's another story. But I wanted Blitz Stafford because he's really good against the blitz. He's been like that his whole career. He struggled with the front four pressure. So that's how you got to beat him. Yeah, we see Stafford for too long. That's what gives him problems. That's what gave him problems his whole career is the front four pressure. They have to win up front.
It's a big if, though. You know what I mean? Because we've tried that. We've tried that this year, especially early on, with just trying to get pressure with the front four, and we've seen it where, you know, quarterbacks have all day. They could take a nap, wake up, throw a pass to Cooper Kupp. That's what they could do, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little scary when you have to only rely on your front four. But like then again, it's really scary if you start blitzing Stafford because he has the ability to start, you know, dicing your defense apart. So it's a tough scenario either way, because I think something the Lions have done really well and why they're generating more pressure recently is because they've been blitzing a lot more often. They've been one of the higher teams at blitzing recently, and it's worked, but we haven't played a quarterback like Matthew Stafford yet. We played Dak. They did a very good job with Dak, but Matthew Stafford, we've talked about, man, when you start blitzing Matthew Stafford, that's when it gets dangerous and that's when it gets scary. And I think that's what makes even the James Houston like stuff even more interesting, because if you get him back, I think you feel more comfortable with your front four, because James Houston has a lot to work as an edge rusher, as a full full football player in defense. Like, he has a lot to work on. But one thing I'm not worried about James Houston is put him on the defensive line and go after the quarterback. I'm not worried about James Houston. I know he could do that at an elite level, honestly. I saw it last year for a stretch of games where he was able to pick up 8 sacks in a little over a month. So I know he's capable of doing that. So if you can get him back this game, I know he hasn't played since week 2. I know he'll probably be a little rusty, but if you can get him back, I think he gives you a better shot of not having to blitz as often, and you can get more pressure out of your front four and not all the attention is on Aiden Hutchinson now, because James Houston's going to be on the field. And, you know, now you have Aleem, who's one of your better pressure guys in the interior. So that's big as well. So I agree that the front four is very vital in this game, but I could see that backfiring very easily where, you know, they try that out to start the game and Stafford says all day in the pocket. And then they have these elite receivers like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and they're just going to find a way to get open, especially with this line secondary.
Yeah. I think regardless, they're going to find a way to get open. I mean, we don't have guys to cover these guys. This is what it boils down to. We don't have the guys to cover these guys. They're going to get their numbers. It is what it is. The only thing we could possibly do is hope for Stafford to have mistakes. That's all we can pray. That's all you think we could do.
Which he's very prone to do.
Yeah. If you're able to do it with your front four, drop everybody else in coverage or just be able to disguise coverages and maybe, you know, slightly confuse Stafford and shit like that. Yeah. If you start blitzing him and he's able to recognize the blitz and he's going to find the opening, and those guys are going to go off. And regardless what we do, whether we blitz them, put four in coverage, rush four, those two guys are going to get their numbers. I mean, shit, anybody betting, you're doing a parlay, you 100-yard both of these guys. Like, you over 100-yard both of these guys and call it a day. I'm not sure they're going to win, but they're going to get their numbers. We're not going to have an answer for them. At this point, you just got to learn to accept it.
That's the scary thing, too, is because they have two guys. Not like, I mean, we've had a problem like when we play like Justin Jefferson, but like they don't really have another guy. I mean, Addison's good, but like, you know, he's not fully there yet. Like, Puka Nacua is there already. Yeah. Cooper Kupp was a Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago, and I know he missed some time, but like he's still an elite receiver at the end of the day. So, like, that's the scary part. And like, that's when we put like, you kind of go back to like, when's the last time the Lions played really two good receivers? Tampa Bay, yeah, and they did a very good job with them with Godwin and Mike Evans. But then I go back to the Seattle game this year. They played DK Metcalf. They played Tyler Lockett. They had zero answers for either of those guys. And, you know, the Lions tried the whole thing with just having their front four get pressure. And, you know, Geno had all day in the pocket. And those two gave you big issues, especially Lockett. And then Metcalf even sprinkled in there a little bit too. So it's a tough game plan for Aaron Glenn for sure. But he has been better the last month. It's something new. You know, that's what Dan Campbell said. Like, it's something new they haven't faced this year. So, you know, we'll see what they have to bring to the table.
Yeah, I think what factors in as far as, like, you're talking about the other receivers that we played, like the Mike Evans and Godwin. But the thing is, their quarterback was Baker Mayfield. You know, the big difference. I mean,
if big difference between him and Stafford.
We played DK Metcalf and Lockett, but the quarterback is Geno fucking Smith. I mean, it's different from Matthew Stafford. You know, Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Did he win MVP that year or Super Bowl MVP? Or
no, it was Cooper Kupp.
No, Cooper Kupp. He's damn near. I mean, this is Matthew Stafford. All right, we know what he could do. We know what Matthew Stafford could do. He can make every throw on the field. He does no lookers. He has a hell of an arm. We know Matthew Stafford. So this is a different type of beast, a different type of animal we're heading against. And now we're playing against two good receivers and a hell of a quarterback
and a hell of a running back. I know you're
hell of a running back.
Yeah, I know we're confident in the run defense, and I am right there with you. But like, that's another animal. Like you have to focus on too.
They absolutely cannot let him get going.
No, if they get him going, that's when it gets really, really scary, because then they start owning the time possession.
Then they can do whatever they want.
Because we'll never get on the field. I mean, they're going to have those long, long 8-minute drives. And
they have to stop. Cooper Kupp and Puka, they're going to get their shit. There's nothing we could do against that. You know, you stop Williams. You make sure 23 is under his production. You get him under that 70, 80 yards around there and make sure he's not killing us on the field. Right. You have to make sure that's your main priority.
Which they've done all year at an elite level.
That's why I'm pretty confident in the run defense.
Same.
It's just that, you know, I just honestly think like we have to, like the key for Detroit to win this game is to win the turnover battle. So if we could get Stafford to make a mistake or two, I can see us winning this game.
Right. I mean, like I said, I think this is as even as it gets. It really is. Like, the offenses are both, I think, very elite. And I think the defenses are very subpar. It's just like, which one is going to fold more, I think, in this game. And like I said, the turnover battle is going to be huge. And I think we would have the advantage of winning that turnover battle just with Stafford's mistakes. You know, he's more of a gunslinger. He's willing to take chances. And if the Lions could take advantage and cause those turnovers, like, that's big. But to be fair to this Rams offense, like, they don't really give away the ball that often either. They've only had 18 giveaways all season. They're ranked 6th in the whole NFL. So, like, they do a very good job of not fumbling the ball or intercepting the ball. And the Lions have done a pretty good job with that all year, too, outside that little stretch that they had, you know, where they were giving all away the ball, like, 3 times a game, essentially.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, they've been very, very good. So, like, man, it's the playoffs, dude. Like, there's no gimmies in the playoffs. Like, you're not playing the Carolina Panthers. Like, every team you're going to play in the playoffs is good. Like, they made it there good for a reason.
Yep.
Like, that's exciting. No givens.
This is the exciting part, man. And this is – and we're there. So, this is the – man, this is exciting, man. I got this – this is a great matchup, man. I think both sides. I mean, I think, you know, both offenses is going to do what they have to do. I think it's going to be fireworks, man. I just can't wait.
So, since we're not doing a show on Sunday, I'm sorry for the people that tune into that. We'll be at the game. Maybe we'll do like a drunk Instagram live, because
do like Instagram live.
Yeah, we might be boozing by then, but yeah. For anyone who's sitting at home, again, that's another reason why you're coming to the tailgate. There'll be booze. There's going to be booze there, guys.
Guys, come to the tailgate, man.
21 and up.
Not going to the game. Just go to the tailgate, man. It's going to be lit.
I'm IDing you guys. I'm 21 and up.
Yeah, 21 and up. Yeah, we're not trying to get in trouble.
Yeah, so, So maybe we'll do an Instagram live. So we're going to do our predictions now, you know, just kind of like what we think is going to happen, some game thoughts. We'll have our scores and everything. So we'll do that all now in this episode. What are your predictions? I know you're saying fireworks. Like, give me a score.
Yeah, score. Here we go. Drum roll, please. Let's go 42-37 Lions.
Oh, man, you have real, real fireworks.
Fireworks. Yeah. I think it'll be that type of game, man, because you're looking at this on paper, and you're like, okay, how are the Lions going to stop Cooper Kupp and Puka? How the hell are they going to do that? So you know they're going to get their numbers. You know they're going to get touched. They're going to get theirs. And then you're looking at the other side of the ball, you're like, man, how are they going to stop St. Brown and all these running backs? And how are they going to stop all these guys? So the Lions are going to get theirs too. So I think it's going to be an offensive shootout. I think whoever wins this game is whoever wins the turnover battle. And I just hope Detroit follows the game plan. They're listening to this. Rush 4. Hopefully get to Stafford. Drop 7 in coverage. Disguise that shit. He's going to throw one to you by mistake because we've seen Stafford do this his whole career. So let's win this turnover battle and let's win the shootout, man. Let's go. Let's get our first playoff victory, man. Says what? Was that 91?
91, yep.
91, man. Shit, that's when my wife was born. This is shit.
I mean, that's like not even just a Lions classic of all time that you're going to watch back. Like, that's an NFL classic, man. 42-37. Yeah, that's like a game that like NFL fans will be talking about for years and years to come. You know, like you remember that Lions Rams game on Sunday Night Football in the wild card round? Like that's like the type of like recognition you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And you're on the primest of prime times. Sunday night football in the NFL playoffs. You're not on Saturday night Peacock. You're not Saturday 4:30 to open up the playoffs. You are on Sunday night football in the playoffs. That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts.
Bro, just look at it. I mean, if you're not a fan of any of the teams right now,
this is the best.
What is the most intriguing game?
This game
on this game on 1,000%.
The best storyline, 100%. You know,
yes.
You know, Jared Goff versus former team that, like you said, threw him away. Versus a coach that threw him away, and McVay. Obviously, we know about Stafford coming back to Detroit for the first time. Like, that's a huge storyline.
And it's crazy because there's a lot of storylines out right now. There's a lot. You know, you got Tyreek Hill going back to Kansas City.
Oh, it's almost like it's almost like
a script. I mean, I don't know. But shit, you got the Cowboys coach.
Mike McCarthy playing the Packers.
I mean, there's so many storylines going on. But which one is the most intriguing right now that everybody's going to be focused on? I think is this game right here, man.
I mean, it's one of the biggest trades we've seen in the last 5 years. 100%. One of the biggest trades we've seen in the NFL, and now you're seeing it really come full circle. And those teams face off at Ford Field in the playoffs, and it's not like they've been here before. This is Stafford's first time playing a game in Detroit since the trade, who was the franchise quarterback for 12 freaking years.
Yeah, I know he's going through a lot of emotions too, so hopefully that throws him off a little bit. Because I don't care. He's human, so he has to have emotions has to be going through his
body. He won't say it, but yeah, 100%.
Of course, you watch Kelly's Instagram, and all week she's been talking about this.
Yeah, and not even Stafford, Goff too, man. He's fired up too.
Yeah, I think Goff is just fired up in a different way. Goff is fired up as y'all threw me away. All right, he has that Amon-Ra St. Brown mentality right now. I think Stafford's mindset is a little bit different. Like, he's like, oh man, you know, I'm going back to Detroit. You know, I didn't win here. You know, I think it's a little bit different, you know. But I think Goff has something to prove.
It's actually gonna see that banner up there.
Yeah.
You know, I think they did that on purpose. They knew Stafford was coming down because they usually, I feel like they do it the next year. They did that shit on purpose. Like, no, Stafford, you're gonna see it this year in the playoffs.
Hey, and then, I mean, at the end of the day, man, what do you want to point fingers or not? It wasn't Stafford's fault.
No, I mean, I don't have to go back and say my whole thing. Stafford, all business Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still my favorite player in NFL history. Yeah. As of right now, like, he is my favorite player. He's the guy that got me into football. But I'm sorry, this Sunday.
I'm not clapping for you.
No tribute video.
No tribute. I'm not going to boo you. I'm not going to boo him.
Oh, yeah, that's tough, man.
I'm not going to boo him. I know people are going to boo. I know they're going to boo him.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep quiet. I'm not going to do anything.
I don't think there should be claps either, though.
They shouldn't be clapping.
Yeah, I think
he is the enemy.
It's business, man. And he knows that. We're the enemy to him now.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, Kelly, she's taking some of the stuff to the heart. She saw the D-line's post.
That was crazy.
I don't know. First of all, people, I know I talked about it last episode that they should ban the Stafford jersey. I said it as a joke.
That was all before because we recorded that Monday night and it all happened Tuesday.
Yeah, and then he posted it, which, guys, there's no proof to that. So you can wear your Stafford. It's not really banned. You know, I don't know how it got to the Pat McAfee show. And then now Kelly got a hold of it, and she's like, "Oh, I'm hurt because we don't feel that way about Detroit."
Could you imagine if they actually did a jersey ban? Like every usher that he walked in, oh hell no, you gotta walk out, take that shit off.
They said number nine. Which number nine? God damn it, turn around. You gotta make sure it says J-Bo. Is like, oh okay, you can come in. Oh stop! Get the hell out of here.
Take it off. Throw it in the garbage.
That'd be wild. No, there's no jersey band, guys. But yeah, Kelly's taking it to the heart. Like she was saying how she feels sad because she doesn't feel that way about Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, dude. It's a game, dude. It's a game at the end of the day. Love Matthew, but like, you know, I don't believe there's a single Lions fan that's actually cheering for him out there in this game.
Yeah, it's like, gonna be tough. She's bringing the kids too. I don't think it's a good game to bring the kids.
Yeah, no, they're fine, dude. Then nothing will happen. But
no, I'm not saying anything that happened to them. But I'm saying like, no, I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear their dad being booed and shit like that. Like,
does the Ford family put the Staffords in a suite or just treat them like a
what the fuck? Why would they do that?
I agree. I don't think they should either.
why would they do that?
Business as usual. Whatever road opponents. Family sit at, that's where you're sitting at.
You damn right. What the hell? I'll be seeing St. Brown's family in the fucking stands. Are you talking about in the booth?
That's true. I think his brother's coming too.
He's coming?
Yeah, like when Equanimeous.
I mean, shit, he ain't got nothing else to do. He might as well come. Shit, he has nothing else to do.
Maybe he'll pull up to the tailgate too. He's got time.
Yeah, shit. But no, absolutely not, man. They shouldn't get no special treatment. They're no away team. We love them. We appreciate everything they did to Detroit, for Detroit. They still got charities and stuff going on, and they're going to check up on them when they come back in town. But we appreciate everything they did, man. But God damn it, if anybody knows about this history and what this means to Detroit, what it means to this team, it should be them. They should be completely understanding about what's going on and how we feel 100%. About the situation. 100%. We cannot cheer for that. We can't do it. Today's not the day to cheer for it. When he comes back next year, like you said, they want to do a tribute video for him.
I think that's appropriate.
Want to thank him. Retire his jersey. I don't give a damn what they do next year.
Okay,
I don't
know about that. Time real quick. Yeah.
But this Sunday, we're in business. We're in business mode, man.
Yeah.
Just like Jake Herb said, man. The only nine I know is J-Mo. And that's how I'm leaving it as that.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, I think the next year is appropriate time to do the whole appreciation thing. This Sunday, man, once the game starts, nothing, dude. Even before the game, nothing. You know, like, there should be no claps for Matthew, I don't think. You could be a fan however you like to be a fan. I don't really care. It doesn't really affect me. I'm just telling you what I'm going to be doing. I'll be sitting down, sitting back, love Matthew, but I'm not cheering for him.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be doing. If you're out there with a Stafford jersey, I will question you. I'm not saying you should do it or not, but I'm going to just ask you what side are you on? I just personally going to want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the appropriate time to wear Stafford jersey, but if that's the only jersey you have, that's the only jersey you have. Like, whatever.
You better take a scotch tape.
Put some duct tape over. Yeah.
Duct tape and write Williams, J-Mo.
My cousin did that for 2019. We went to the Lions-Packers game when we were tanking. And he had an old Sue jersey. We put Chase Young's name on it. We put Young.
I remember.
So it's a simple process, guys. Only a little duct tape and a little Sharpie. It's a simple process. I'll say that. You can take it off right after.
Yeah, there it is. There's the solution.
Yeah. All right. My prediction for this game, and we got a little off track, but my prediction for this game is I think it's going to be very close. Not as fireworks as you, but I think it's going to be close. High scoring. I'm going to go 31-27 Detroit. And I have a little extra caveat that's going to make us sweat like crazy. You're not going to like this.
Is it going to come to a game-winning drive?
It's going to be a minute 50 left on the clock. The Lions are going to be up 4 points. Stafford has an opportunity for a touchdown to win the game.
You can throw it a bounce? You can throw it a bounce?
Hutchinson's going to get a strip sack.
Get the fuck out of here.
To win the game.
Shit, if that happens, let's go, man.
Man. It's going to be like the Bears game a little bit. Like a little strip sack. But maybe not the touchdown or the safety. He's just going to get on that ball, game over.
If they give the ball to Stafford, if we're under a touchdown, I'm going to be stressed the fuck out. I'm going to be stressed out, man.
If it's, anything under seven, if it's like six or five or four. I'm like
stressed, bro.
I'll even be worse if it's like two, if they only need a field goal.
I'll be stressed out, bro. We've seen Stafford do it too many times. But hopefully – I'm telling you, man. You might say, Detroit, this is for you. And chuck that shit out of bounds. Can you imagine? Cooper comes wide open down the field. 2 seconds left. Stafford throws it out of bounds. Game over. He gave it to Detroit.
Man.
He'll become my hero instantly.
It's crazy.
He'll become my hero instantly if he did some shit like that. I mean, that's not the way I would want to win.
I don't want to have bad thoughts going into this game. But like, if we somehow do lose, is it officially F. Stafford? Is he just a villain now?
If he puts it to us like that, like say it was like a game-winning drive and he goes on the field in 30, 40 seconds and he does one of his magical comeback drives and wins the game and has that last second touchdown and shove it down our throats and walks out of the field celebrating, yeah, it's officially F. Stafford. That's it. He got to sell his house. He can't come back to Detroit no more.
He can't come back. No more Ring of Honor ceremony for him. Retired. Man, no jersey
he
retirement.
He can't come back at that point, man. He can't. What?
Yeah.
A game-winning drive, 30, 40 seconds, and then shove it down our throat, and then go down the field celebrating. There's a cartwheel on the sidelines.
It's not gonna happen, guys. We're not. It's not happening. So we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it. We're gonna win this game. It's not gonna matter. So, oh man, I'm excited, dude. I'm excited.
We need to go off topic and get bad juju right now. Because I know, like, oh, man. Like, why would you say that, Malcolm? God damn it.
I'm excited though, man. This is something we've been waiting for our whole life for, dude. I know the Ford family is some greedy bastards with those ticket prices, but they got me. They got you. They got us all, dude.
They got us,
man. I'm not going to lie. But
because they knew it. They knew
we were desperate. They know we were willing to pay for it. They know we've been waiting for this. But, man, like, we've been waiting for this our whole life, dude. A home playoff game. And you can't ask for a better story, dude. It's the Rams coming here with the whole Goff and Stafford situation. Like,
this is history.
You can't ask for a better storyline. Like that's literally poetic. That's cinema if the Lions win this game.
This is going to be in history, man. This is always going to be the Lions' first home playoff game since 1993.
Yeah, and first one in Ford Field history.
When's the first time in Ford Field history, man? This is history.
This is history. And it doesn't get more poetic in cinema when you do the documentary in a couple years when the Lions win this game. And they say the Lions' first home playoff game to end the whole misery of losing. 30 for 30 documentary is going to release how the Lions beat the former franchise quarterback for 12 years, Matthew Stafford.
This is off topic, but what's the name of this 30 for 30 going to be? Is it going to be like a 30 for 30 bite your kneecap off or 30 for 30?
So the Pistons one is, I think, it's just called the Bad Boys.
The Bad Boys.
All grit 30 for 30.
All grit 30 for 30. I like that.
Something like that, maybe.
I like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, if Detroit, if they find a way to go all the way, they need a 30. This is something that they need a story on.
If they win a Super Bowl with this regime, if it's this year, next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, if they win a Super Bowl with this regime, they are 100% getting a 30 for 30.
100% getting a 30 for 30. They should, man.
They show all the losing in the beginning, but then they show them while they rise on top. But that's this storyline. This could be a big chapter to the storyline if the Lions beat the Rams this Sunday, beating Matthew Stafford.
It will. I think it will make the 30 for 30 team.
Yeah, that's a huge chapter to it. You know, that's a huge turning point. So
I like it.
Maybe I'm getting too ahead of myself. Talk about 30 for 30 documentaries right now. And that shit wouldn't be for another 30 years. That'd be for the next, like, you remember the last time they won the division was 30 years? That's when the 30 for 30 documentary is coming out.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk to us about our grandkids. But, yep, I was at that game.
Yeah, true. All right, guys. That's going to be a wrap to this episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed this game preview of the Rams. We won't be live on Spaces or on YouTube on Sunday, but follow us on Instagram. We'll probably go live there for a little bit. It's not gonna be your traditional pregame show, but it'll be a show for sure. So if you guys want to come tune in on Instagram Live, that'll be a ton of fun. Again, if you guys are interested and you guys are gonna be down there in downtown, hit one of us up on social media. We'll give you some more details of how this whole thing's gonna go. We'd love to meet everyone out there. It's gonna be a freaking blast, man. It's gonna be a historic day. Don't care how cold it is, if it snows, we don't care.
We're
gonna be out there.
Whoa. I care. God damn it.
You're gonna be out there. You have no choice.
I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna be pissed.
You're gonna be out there.
Freezing my ass off. But yeah, I'm down, man. You know.
Nah, man, fine. Just drink a shot of Fireball. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
All right, guys. That's a wrap. Hope you guys all enjoyed. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. Your boy Malcolm here, man. I can't wait to see y'all Sunday, man. Let's go, Detroit Lions. Let's get this playoff dub. Let's go, man. I am out, man. Peace.